أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة
الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله اللهم لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك وعظيم سلطانك سبحانك اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك وصلى الله تبارك وتعالى وسلم على سيدنا وسندنا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه وذرياته وأهل بيته ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد All praises to Allah, all praises to Allah, all praises to Allah who guided us to this, who guided us to Islam and to Iman and to His Mubarak house on this Mubarak hour of this Mubarak day. And we were not to be guided, was it not that Allah guided us? O Allah, to you is praise as is commensurate with the majesty of your countenance and the greatness of your authority. O Allah, we do not limit you with any praise we can come up with ourselves. Rather, we admit that you're the only one who knows the true extent of your praiseworthiness. And may the peace and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon his servant and messenger, our master Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May the peace and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon him and upon his noble companions, and upon his pure wives, and upon his Mubarak family and progeny, and upon all of those who follow all of their ways until the Day of Judgment. So we continue in the series of khutubat that we started when talking about the ayah of Surah Al-Baqarah, where Allah Ta'ala commands the believers, anfiqu, that you should spend in the path of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala from that which Allah Ta'ala gave you. Right? That Allah Ta'ala says that the مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ كَمَثَلِ حَبَّةٍ أَنْبَتَتْ سَبْعَ سَنَابِلَ فِي كُلِّ سُنْبُلَةٍ مِئَةَ حَبَّةٍ That the likeness of those who spend in the path of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is the likeness of a grain that is planted, and then from it 7 ears of grain come out. In each ear of grain there are 100 seeds. Allah Ta'ala says that سَبَعَ السَّنَابِلَ فِي كُلِّ سُنْبُلَةٍ مِئَةَ حَبَّةٍ وَاللَّهُ يُضَاعِفُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ And Allah will multiply for whoever He wills. وَاللَّهُ وَاسِعٌ عَلِيمٌ And Allah Ta'ala is expansive and all-knowing. And the idea is that what? Is that there is some standard by which a good deed is done, by which the deed's outcome can be amplified. And we talked about what that standard was, that the ulama and the mufassirun, they said that that standard breaks down into three different parts, right? One of them we talked about last week, which is the knowledge of the person doing the good deeds. The greater the knowledge of the person doing the good deed is, the greater the understanding and the heart and the ikhlas and the sincerity and the deliberateness with which that deed is done, thereby the greater the reward the person doing the deed receives. And then we talked about the second part being what? The purity of the means by which that deed is done. Like a farmer will get a higher yield on a crop with the better seed that he uses. Some seed will give a crop that is resistant to weather conditions, resistant to pests, resistant to illnesses, resistant to fungal infections, bacterial infections, etc. And some seeds are very weak, and they make fruit that is very small, and that is very bitter, and that is very sensitive to temperature conditions, and very sensitive to infections, and very sensitive to any other sort of disruption. And the seed that the farmer uses has a very high impact on the yield that they receive. And that's what we wanted to talk about. That seed, or that means that a person uses to do their good deeds, that is the analogy of how pure the means a person uses to do what they do. How pure the means a person uses to do what they do. How halal, in simpler terms, how halal is your rizq, and how halal is what you eat and drink. How permissible and lawful is your provision. The money that you make, the things that you look at, the things that you listen to, the things that you consume, the things that you eat and drink. How halal are those things? The more halal they are, the more reward a person will get with them. There's two people. One person will work hard, manual labor, not make a whole lot of money for what they do, but the money that they make is pure. The sunnah, the two sunnah ways of making money, the two ways that have the most barakah according to the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are those things that a person does with their own hands. And trade, honest business where you disclose to the buyer all the defects of the thing that you're selling, where you disclose to the buyer the complete picture of what he's buying, you bring him something he needs, and he happily gives you a small profit from it. You take something that's in surplus in one place, and you put it in a place that's in demand in another place, and three people win. The person with the surplus gets money that they need, the person who has too much money gets the goods that they need, and you are the third one who benefits in the middle, because you make a living, you make a livelihood out of the middle of it. So these are the two sunnah trades that are there. And after that, there are many trades and professions that a person can do that are lawful. The person who works hard and does the amal and the labor of their own hands, maybe they won't make so much money. Maybe they'll make a wage that's hourly, that's close to minimum wage. Some of the people who do the hardest work, actually they pay them less than minimum wage, right? They say so-and-so is an illegal alien, or so-and-so is a non-resident. And so people pay them under the table, and they give them even less than what is the urf, what is the customary decent amount that a person is supposed to be paid. And oftentimes those people do the most honest work and the best work. Maybe that person brings a small amount of money with them and they give in sadaqah. Or maybe that person brings a small amount of money with them and gives zakat, or gives a zakat al-fitr, or gives a donation to the masjid, or buys something for somebody, food for a needy person, or for a person who is fasting, or buys something with it. Maybe they use that small amount of money to buy something very small, and the reward with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is for that small amount of money, something that we will throw on the sidelines. People like us that Allah Ta'ala gave great means to, we'll throw on the side and we'll not even bat an eyelash about it. Maybe that person will give that amount, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give in its exchange eternal life and Jannah forever, and forgiveness for all of that person's sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, first you have to understand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not impressed with your money. He's not impressed with my money. He's not impressed with $1 million. He's not impressed with $10 million. He's not impressed with $10 billion. He's not impressed with $1 trillion. He's not impressed with any of it. He's the one who created the sama'at and ard from nothing. He created the heavens and the earth. Something that you think you know and I think I know, but we don't even know what the secrets are in this earth, much less in the heavens. He created all of it in nothing. In one word, kun fayakun. He said to it, be and it is. Our money doesn't impress him at all. In that sense, $1 billion and 1 cent is completely equal to Allah Ta'ala in the fact that it's all nothing. Allah Ta'ala wants to look at what? What's inside of your heart, right? Allah Ta'ala doesn't look at your picture, your outward form, right? He doesn't look at your body. He doesn't look at your outward beauty. Rather, He looks at your heart. It's a sahih hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He wants you to give that 1 cent with purity. He doesn't care about the billion and trillion dollars. He doesn't care about it. How many masajid are built? They're built on the funding of a person whose name is put on the masjid. The money was not pure. Allah Ta'ala may not accept it from that person. How many masajid are built? They have no name of the people who gave the small amount of nafaqah, the small amount of donation, small donations that they put together. How many masajid are built? Literally, they have no carpets. There's sand. And there's grass. Just bundles of grass that are there to shade a person. The people who put those bundles of grass together in a halal, in a pure way, they're written with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the list of people He loves until the Yawm al-Qiyamah. This is something, we don't get it. To be very frank with you, we don't get it. It's a very simple concept. We understand conceptually, but amalan, very few of us get it. We don't understand this. We think, oh, if I make more, if I do this, everyone else is doing it, etc., etc. Again, I mentioned so many times, and it's worth mentioning, it bears repetition. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَقْبِلُ صَلَاةً بِلَا طَهُورٍ وَلَا صَدَقَةً مِّنْ غُلُولٍ. It's the first hadith of the Sunan of Imam al-Tirmidhi. Allah Ta'ala doesn't accept. Allah Ta'ala doesn't accept a salat without wudu. If you don't have wudu, if you don't have ghusl, if you're in janaba or if you're in hadith, you don't have wudu or you are in a major state of ritual impurity, if you pray, Allah Ta'ala promises you He won't accept it. Don't show up to the masjid without wudu and say, Allah knows what's in my heart, brother. You can't tell me what is this between me and Allah. It is between you and Allah. And who am I to say what Allah will accept and what He won't? But His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said it very explicitly, that He will not accept it. If you make wudu properly, there's still no guarantee that He'll accept it from you. So you should be humble. I should be humble when we put our prayer forth in front of the Lord jalla wa ala. But if we don't have wudu, if we don't come with the prerequisites, His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam promised us He will not accept it. Just as we would laugh at a person who would stand up in front of everybody and say, Allah Ta'ala will accept. Who are you to tell me what to do, that I have to make wudu? It's between me and Allah if I make wudu or not. I can pray all I want. We would laugh at such a person. Our small children would laugh at such a person that they have no idea what they're talking about. That they have no idea what they're talking about. Just like that, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, نفس الجملة, in the exact same, in the same sentence, what did he say? وَلَا صَدَقَةً مِنْ غُلُولٍ. And he doesn't accept what? Any money that you are trying to use to spend, by which you are trying to gain closeness to Allah Ta'ala, any cent that you are trying to spend, by which you are trying to get proximity to Allah Ta'ala, that's from ill-gotten means, Allah Ta'ala will not accept it. Allah Ta'ala will not accept it. If it was a hot day, imagine there's a cooler with water. Nowadays we thumb our nose at water because we're very wealthy people. We have very expensive habits. Somebody may want to drink Coke. Somebody may want to drink lemonade. Someone may want to drink iced tea. And even when they drink the iced tea, it has to be organic and it has to have cane sugar instead of fructose corn syrup and has to be this, has to be that. Name the nicest drink that you can think of that's halal. Okay? Imagine there's a cooler of it, it's your favorite drink, it's a hot day, you're thirsty, okay? If somebody said, this cooler, everyone, it's for the public to drink from, I just put like a small drop of urine in it. Who's going to drink from it? Raise your hand, go ahead, who's going to drink from it? Who's going to drink from it? Even if you would drink from it, you wouldn't raise your hand because it's a shame in front of other people. It's a shame in front of other people. What is it? It's a shame, it's something to be ashamed of. We're clean people, our forefathers were clean people. We don't do those types of things. It's something that anyone who's on the fitrah, anybody who has anything resembling a normal and undamaged nafs and disposition and soul, that person would say, this is disgusting. I'd rather just drink the water from the water fountain than drink something that has urine in it. This is what it means. وَلَا صَدَقَةَ مِنْ غُلُولٍ. This is what it means. Allah Ta'ala doesn't accept sadaqah. He doesn't accept a deed that a person is doing by which they think they're getting close to Him. He doesn't accept it if it has any ill-gotten wealth in it. And it doesn't mean that, oh, okay, I didn't rob a liquor store to bring this money, so it should be good. No. Right? I didn't say that the cooler is full of urine. If the cooler is full of urine, maybe they'll call the health department and shut the entire masjid down. I said just one drop. Just one drop makes it unacceptable to any of us. Okay? Makes it unacceptable to any of us. All right? What do we say in our sajda? What do we say in our ruku'? Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Subbuhun Quddusun, Rabbul Malaikati wal-Ruh. Right? Glory be to Allah Ta'ala, the Azim, the Great, the Magnificent. Glory be to Allah, the Most High. Subbuh, the one who is who is innately deserving of glory. Qudus, the one who is sacred and holy. The one who is the Lord of the Malaika and the Ruh. The one who is the Lord of all pure things. Right? The angels and the spirits. You and me are not even close to that. We're not even, forget about Allah Ta'ala, we're not even close to the angels. We go to the bathroom so many times in the day, right? We eat things, and those things, what happens to them? They become rot, right? When we die, our bodies go into the ground. And after just a small amount of time, the body is so full of worms, the person who loved you like nobody else loved you in the world, that person even will not want to look at you anymore. That's what we are. Even then, this is too dirty for us. Imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine Allah ta'ala who is Subuh and Quddus. That we expect Him to accept these things from us. These are things our forefathers, they got them. They understood them. They get them. We don't get them. We don't get them. Our forefathers got these things. We don't get these things. We see what? That if you want to do things the right way, you're going to be not making as much money. And if you want to take a little bit of wiggle room in it, then you'll make a whole lot more money, and then you'll build the entire masjid, and you'll do all these things, and you'll go on hajj and umrah and do all of these things. We'll do 100 different things, and then afterward we'll expect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept them. Brothers and sisters, Yawm al-Qiyamah, one of the hikmahs, one of the wisdoms of Allah ta'ala, describing those things, the deeds that a person will have in their favor or against them, being weighed. Not counted or not measured by volume, is that weight is an intrinsic property. You can see two things that are outwardly the same volume, and one has more weight and the other has less weight. It's an intrinsic property. You cannot look and ascertain the weight of something by looking at it. There's a hikmah, there's a wisdom in it. That two people will give the same dollar, one of them will be a reason for punishment with Allah Ta'ala, and one of them will be a reason of forgiveness with Allah Ta'ala, and one of them will be a reason of going to a very high maqam with Allah Ta'ala. All three of them will be completely different. This is something we need to get it before we leave this world, lest we show up Yawm al-Qiyamah and we pile the scale pans with mountains of deeds, but the weight is not even the weight of a feather. Because when we sin, brothers and sisters, I can tell you, we sin with complete ikhlas, with complete purity of evil inside of our hearts. When we do good deeds, though, it's all watered down. Nasallallahu al-afiyah. I'm saying we. I'm including myself in this. This is something, ذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ ذِكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Remind one another, because the reminder helps the believers. All of us need to remember this, because we're living amongst the people who literally worship material goods. They literally worship material goods, they worship money, and we've had the greatness of that money come into our hearts. And brothers and sisters, the money is not like that. It's not in and of itself, you spend it and you're going to go to Jannah. It doesn't work that way. Right? What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? It's a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's narrated in Sahih Muslim, nonetheless, in which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ طَيِّبٌ لَا يَقْبِلُ إِلَّا طَيِّبًا. O people, Allah ta'ala is pure, and He doesn't accept anything other than that which is pure. Right? If it's going to be watered down and adulterated in any way, He's not going to accept it. It's a very explicit pronouncement. You'll find pronouncements like this all the way through the Quran, all the way through the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They're not rare by any means, right? Inna Allah, what did we say before? Wala sadaqata min ghulul. He doesn't accept a charity from ill-gotten wealth. Hear what? Inna Allah tayyibun la yaqbilu illa tayyib. Allah Ta'ala is pure and He doesn't accept. If it's not pure, He's not going to accept it. Allah is pure and He doesn't accept anything other than that which is pure. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ أَمَرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ بِمَا أَمَرَ بِهِ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. So don't say this is something that's beyond me. Allah Ta'ala, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said what? Allah commanded the believers to do the exact same thing that He commanded the messengers to do. Right? This is not something that only the prophets can do and you and I can't do it. Generation, khalafan an salaf, generation after generation of this ummah understood this, and they lived their life to the best of their ability according to this standard. It's something they got. For some reason, we don't get it. He says what? He says that Allah Ta'ala commanded the messengers, the prophets, to the same thing that He commanded the believers to the same thing He commanded the messengers and the prophets. فَقَالَ جَلَّ وَعَلَىٰ يَا أَيُّهَا الرُّسُلُ كُلُوا مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَأَعْمَلُوا صَالِحًا إِنِّي بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ عَلِيمٌ. He said in Surah Al-Mu'minun, and the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam quotes the holy book of the Holy Quran. He says, Oh prophets, O messengers, eat from those pure things that we gave to you and do righteous deeds. And verily, I know all of those things that you were doing.
And then Allah Ta'ala, he quotes Allah Ta'ala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam again in Surah Al-Baqarah. وَقَالَ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Who was the mukhatab before? It was the prophets, the messengers. Here the mukhatab, who is being addressed here? The believers, those who believe, those who make the claim that we believe. وَقَالَ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. كُلُوا مِن طَيِّبَاتِ مَا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ. Eat from those pure things that we gave to you in sustenance and in provision. Right? What? Only eat from the pure things. Only consume the pure things. Food, only pure. Money, only pure. That's a commandment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a fard. It's not something that, oh, this guy is more taqwa than me or whatever. These are the bases. These are the foundations on which the structure of sound iman is built. He says, وَقَالَ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُلُوا مِن طَيِّبَاتِ مَا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ. He says, oh, you who believe, eat from those pure things that we have given to you in provision. ثُمَّ ذَكَرَ رَجُلَ يُطِيلُ السَّفَرَ أَشْعَثَ أَغْبَرَ يُمُدُّ يَدَيْهِ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ يَا رَبِّي يَا رَبِّي وَمَطْعَمُهُ حَرَامٌ وَمَشْرَبُهُ حَرَامٌ وَمَلْبَسُهُ حَرَامٌ وَغُذِّيَ بِالْحَرَامِ فَأَنَّى يُسْتَجَابُ لِذَلِكَ. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after quoting these two ayahs, he mentions a man who is long in journey. Ash'ath, disheveled, aghbar, dusty. That person is in a long journey, not sitting in a car, but traveling like through the desert on a camel or on foot. And that person is so far away from everything. That person is alone, so far away from everything that he's disheveled. He feels uncomfortable. And he is dusty, aghbar. His hair has dust, his beard. I've lived in the badia before, right? I've lived in the desert before. Dust and sand gets into everything. I still have certain things, if I like knock them against the wall, after like 7 years, dust will come out of them. From just the less than a year I was in the badia. So there's dust in everything. That person is in that state. That person is in that state. And he raises his hands in front of the heavens. And he calls out, oh my Lord, oh my Lord. He's making dua. What's more pious than this? What's more pious than this? The person is alone. The person is in a state of need. And he is raising his hands in front of the heavens, right? There's Qurtubi al-Muhaddith, not the Mufassir, although the Mufassir is a Muhaddith and the Muhaddith is a Mufassir also. But there's one Ahmad al-Qurtubi who wrote a commentary. It's one of the canonical commentaries on Sahih Muslim, called Al-Mufhim, right? He writes and comments on this hadith. He says that the snippet, ثُمَّ ذَكَرَ رَجُلَ يُطِيلُ السَّفَرَ, that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned a man who is long in travel, long in sojourn. يَعْنِي فِي الْحَجِّ وَالْجِهَادِ وَمَا أَشْبَهَ ذَلِكَ مِنْ أَسْفَارِ الطَّاعَاتِ. From the siyaq, from the way the hadith is being narrated, that it's clear that this person is not, because person doesn't go through that much difficulty or that much trouble to go and do like average things. The only reason a person would undertake a journey in which they would go through so much difficulty is what? Is Hajj or Jihad fi sabilillah, or something that's of dire importance. Something of dire importance. Meaning that the journey itself is a journey of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you read in the old days, people didn't go from Bukhara to Andalusia for free. They only used to do it what? Either because it's a Hajj journey, or because they're going to seek knowledge for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, or for jihad fi sabilillah. People didn't use, you know, maybe kings had the luxury of doing those things. Even kings have to look after their kingdoms. You can't just go travel for no reason. So this hadith is what? Imagine the guy is ash'ath aghbar, he's disheveled and he's dusty, and he's spreading his hands in front of the sky alone in the desert and asking, oh my Lord, he's making dua. What could be more pious and what could be more acceptable to the Lord than that? But what did the Prophet ﷺ mention? He says what? But his food is haram, and his drink is haram, and his clothing is haram. And his nurturing, his body grew on the food and drink of haram. And then the Prophet ﷺ asked a question. What's the question he asked? He asked a rhetorical question. He says, فَأَنَّا يُسْتَجَابُ لِذَلِكَ. How is Allah Ta'ala going to accept his dua? How is Allah going to accept his dua? This is not a joke, brothers and sisters. This is real. This is happening to our ummah. It's happening to us. If it's not happening to you, make dua for me. It's happening to all of us right now. That we do this and we say, how come we're not finding success like other people found success? But when it comes to taking the money, when it comes to eating and drinking, we make all sorts of compromises. And the same question can be asked about us, that when we cry at the Khatam of the Qur'an, when we read Salatul Taraweeh, when we go for Hajj, when we go for Umrah, when we fast the long summer days and Ramadan, when we do all of these things and then the heart breaks, why is my dua not being answered? Why don't I feel spirituality? Why isn't this happening? Why isn't that happening? What's the answer to that question? فَأَنَّا يُسْتَجَابُ لِذَٰلِكَ How is a person is tainted every single means that Allah Ta'ala gave him or her, tainted every single means and never cared to ask, is this thing something sound or not? Is this thing pleasing to my Lord or not? Then how is that dua going to be answered? This is not something we say, we mention to browbeat one another. It's something we can change. All of us can change it. And brothers and sisters, to be very frank with you, one of the most poignant and salient parts of making sure your means is halal is the food that you eat. And that is the issue that we have turned into a complete and utter joke. If someone mentions, is this halal or not? It either becomes a joke or someone will tell that person very seriously, brother, don't talk about this. You're causing fitna. What is the fitna? Okay, what is the fitna? I'll tell you what the fitna is. Allah Ta'ala revealed in Surah Al-Ma'idah, the last ayah in which there's an order in the Qur'an. What is an order? A hukm, an amr, right? There are ayat that are orders from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. The last order that is revealed in the Qur'an was revealed in an ayah of Surah Al-Ma'idah. حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَيْتَةُ وَالْدَّمُ وَلَحْمُ الْخِنْزِيرِ وَمَا أُهِلَّ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ بِهِ وَالْمُنْخَنِقَةُ وَالْمَوْقُوذَةُ وَالْمُتَرَدِّيَةُ وَالنَّطِيحَةُ وَمَا أَكَلَ السُّبُعُ إِلَّا مَا ذَكَّيْتُمْ وَمَا ذُبِحَ عَلَى النُّسُبِ وَأَنْ تَسْتَقْسِمُوا بِالْأَزْلَامِ ذَلِكُمْ فِسْقٌ اليوم يئس الذين كفروا من دينكم فلا تخشوهم واخشون ولا تخشوهم واخشوني اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا فمن اضطر في مخمصة غير متجانف لإثم فإن الله غفور رحيم. Brothers and sisters, this ayah, what is it about? It's about meat. What is it about? It's about meat. Allah Ta'ala says what? It's been made haram for you to eat the carrion, the unslaughtered meat, and to eat blood, and to eat the flesh of swine, and to eat that thing that was slaughtered for other than Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, and that thing which was asphyxiated, that thing which was beaten to death, that thing that fell from a height, that thing which was gored, that thing that was eaten by a wild animal, except for any of these, if you can get to them and slaughter them before they die, their death. وَمَا ذُبِحَ عَلَى النُّصُبِ And that thing that was slaughtered on the altars of idolatry, and that you should take things by casting lots. All of these things are profligacy. This day, the people who disbelieve have given up hope in your deen, so don't fear them and fear me. Allah Ta'ala says, don't fear them, fear me. Right? Imam Zamakhshari, who is one of the most brilliant mufassirin of the Qur'an, his tafsir of the Qur'an is a standard for linguistical analysis of the Qur'an, right? Al-Kashaf, it's a standard for the linguistical analysis of the Qur'an. What does he say when, what does he say? It means that Allah Ta'ala says here that this day, the people who disbelieve have given up hope that they can mess with your deen. What does it mean? He says, يَأِسُ مِنْهُ أَنْ يُبْطِلُوهُ وَأَنْ يَرْجِعُوا مُحَلِّلِينَ لِهَذِهِ الْخَبَائِثِ بَعْدَمَا حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمْ That the people who disbelieve, the reason they give up hope is because all of these disgusting and filthy things that are mentioned as haram, because you have given them up, now shaitan doesn't have a way of attacking you anymore. You're secure, you're fine, you're in a good state now, you're protected. You're never going to make those haram things halal again. As long as you don't do that, they're not going to be able to assail your deen. The mafhum al-mukhalif is what? That if you start taking these khabith things into yourself, then shaitan has a way of attacking you. So you also should fear them as well, because they have a way of getting to you. This is something, this is not a joke, this is something very real. Allah Ta'ala continues, Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenukum. Immediately after that, what does he say? This day I have perfected your religion. وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي And I have completed my favor upon you. وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا And I have been pleased with Islam for you as a deen. Now your deen is complete. Now your deen is complete. What does the hadith of Sahih Bukhari, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu during his caliphate, he mentions that a Yahudi came to him. He said to him, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, is it true that there's a part of your Quran in which it said that Al-Yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-Islam deenan? And Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said to this Yahudi, he says, yes, it's true. There is a part of our book that says that Allah Ta'ala says, today I have perfected for you your religion and completed pleaded my favor upon you and chosen Islam for you as a deen. This Yahudi said to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, he said, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, if this ayah was revealed upon us, the Jews, it would have been such a honor for us. We would have made that day into an Eid. What did Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu say to him? He says, Wallahi, I was there when this ayah came down on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he was in Arafat on the day of Jumu'ah in the sacred land. That this ayah came down upon him to say what? This was not just one Eid, it was several Eids put together. It was literally the most sacred hour of the Nubu'ah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is what he's trying to say. To who? To this Yahudi, to this Jew who is talking with great adab to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. What does this mean? Is this an important matter or is this not an important matter? This is a very important matter. This is not something to dismiss and to throw away. This is a matter, even if you have an opinion about it, that's different than my opinion. It is something that all of us should be happy to show some sort of scrupulousness and some sort of caution about. Even if you think something is halal, but there's something better, it's worthwhile being cautious for it. Why? Because if it turns out you're wrong, the mafsada, the destruction of this will not just be in that one deed, that you'll be punished for that one deed that you did something wrong. It will go and pervade and spoil all of your good deeds, just like that one drop of urine spoils the entire cooler of drink. Just like that, it makes it completely undrinkable, it makes it a complete waste. Just like that, any small amount of mafsada in your food and what you eat and what you drink, it will completely destroy all of the other things. Literally, the Salaf radiallahu ta'ala anhum used to say what? They said, we considered being sure that everything I ate and drank in the day is halal to be better than praying the entire night tahajjud. And the person who eats halal, their body will wake up, because halal carries a person to the halal, and haram carries a person to haram. That the person who hates zina, the person who hates foul speech, the person who hates lying and cheating, that haram will carry them toward it, even against themselves, even against their own wishes. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of us tawfiq. It's okay if you give up eating meat one day, once in your life, and it seems so bad, Allah will reward you for it. No one will die of hunger in this country, I promise you. We will not die of hunger in this country. Allah is the Razik wherever you are in the world. In this country, no one will die of hunger. Okay, it's okay if you went hungry one time, you controlled yourself one time. There's nothing wrong with it. I've used to go weeks without eating meat. Used to go weeks without it. Am I starving to death? I spend probably half of the week outside of my house. I don't have a place to eat or drink. I don't have a place where I can be sure of what I'm eating. Is it halal or not? Am I starving to death? Allah Ta'ala provides for everybody, brothers and sisters. Don't fear them. He says what? In that same ayah, he says, don't fear them. Fear me. Allah Ta'ala says, don't fear them. Fear me. The people have given up hope that they can assail your deen. Don't fear them. Fear me. Don't fear them. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those whose means are purified and whose means are pure. That if we give a lot for the deen of Allah or a little, whatever we give, may Allah ta'ala purify it and make it clean and something that's acceptable. May Allah ta'ala accept from us whatever we do, large or small. May Allah ta'ala forgive us whatever came before. May Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq to have the courage and to have the strength to rectify those things in our lives that need rectification. And may Allah ta'ala make it a means to multiply the rewards of our good deeds. وَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدُ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَلَى رَسُولِهِ سَيِّدِنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَجْمَعِينَ. يَقُولُ رَبُّ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى فِي كِتَابِهِ الْكَرِيمِ: يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنتُم مُّسْلِمُونَ. وَأَقُولُ قَوْلِي هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أجمعين. قال الله عز وجل في كتابه الكريم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون. وقال عز وجل مخبرا عن مقام نبيه صلى الله عليه وسلم وبحقه علينا حيث قال: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم إنا نسألك من كل خير سألك منه سيدنا محمد نبيك صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من كل شر نستعاذك منه سيدنا محمد نبيك صلى الله عليه وسلم وصلي وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أجمعين إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون وأقيموا الصلاة